this is basically the most romantic breakup that I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, granted... Well, hello. I am. I just want to say that I'm so happy that you're here right now. You know, welcome, my wonderful faux queens and faux kings. My name is Jonathan Garano, and welcome to another episode of Spill the Fa. You know, a podcast where once a week I talk to y'all and I tell you some stuff that's inside my head alone in this podcasting studio, because there's just so many things inside my head. And then the next episode of the week is where I bring on one of my creative friends and we chit-chat about so many different things, usually because they come from the creative world. We talk about their careers, how they got there, and of course, because since this is Spill the Fa, you know what I mean? We try to spill more than just the top layer of things. There is something that I kind of want to do a little differently when it comes to this podcast. I realized something. I was kind of focusing something about maybe a week ago, and especially this weekend. My brother is starting a podcast, and the podcast is about what it's like being a gay Asian. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. And he's been working on it, and he's been sending me a few things. And the marketing person that I am, I've provided a lot of feedback. And my other sister, she wants to start a podcast too. It's called Where Are You At? You know, we made that together. We figured it out. We kind of structured how she would able to do that. And I look at these two individuals, and I say to myself, wow, they're fantastic. You know, they're talented. They are magnificent. They're going to be massive individuals in the things that they're going to pursue because of three things. One, hard work. Two, because of just their personalities in general. And three, because of the stories they tell and how vulnerable they want to be. Now, I've been kind of looking at my other podcasting stuff and kind of just having this weird existential, not crisis, but existential process where I've been thinking about kind of where I've been in my life, what I've done in my life. And recently, I've, especially this year, since January of 2020, and especially getting, you know, COVID myself and beginning to really think the lack of, I think, growth maybe that I've had. I mean, I've had growth, but not the growth that I thought I would have by the time that I graduated college, if that makes sense. I see myself a little stagnant. I see myself complacent. I see myself on top of my bed, you know, looking at my phone at night. I am looking at situations where, I don't know if this happens with y'all, but I'm looking at situations where I think to myself, wait a second, here I am telling a story to a bunch of individuals. Here I am participating in something where it's not adding value to my life. Wow. See, this is what's great about this podcast. It's very like an evolving thesis. And what do I mean like a value to my life? I mean, yes, I can tell other people's stories. Yes, I can help, you know, I can be that marketer that I'm supposed to be and have new clients and help influencers and creators sell their products online. And of course, I can have wonderful guests that jump on this podcast, but I've been thinking about something. I don't want to be 80 years old and looking back and realizing, oh my God, I have not recorded anything of real value that is recorded and presented and publicized to the world. There's always something that I'm holding back. There's always something that I'm not sharing fully. There's a lack of vulnerability that I want to say with myself. And I want to practice that. I want to be able to like showcase that instead of, because I was looking at my past episodes and they're great when I'm by myself, right? But even though it has kind of the forced, contrived funny in it sometimes, I often forget that, hey, listen, this podcast isn't just for y'all. Like, I love you and I appreciate you, the listener. You are here, you are with me, and God damn it, I put you close into my soul. But at the same time, this podcast is for me. And I was driving last night and like late at night, 3 a.m. in the morning, and I was playing some music, sad music for some odd reason because that's in my Spotify Discover Weekly. Not sad, I mean thoughtful. There you go, thoughtful music, like Maggie Rogers in Alaska. That's the title of the song. Look it up. It's fucking phenomenal. And I started thinking of like, whoa, Jonathan, I've done a lot. I've lived a lot. I've done so many things in my life. And yet consistently, I'm either I'm always by myself. Even when I had a girlfriend, all right, I still felt like the third wheel in every single event that I was. And I have no one to share these stories with. Like I have stories upon stories upon stories, and even my own siblings, they don't really know kind of my life. I'm the oldest of 7 kids, and so therefore, I think I was always trained, especially when I was a little kid, where from the age of like 1 to 17, where my father, you know, used me as kind of like the therapist, where my mother used me as kind of a therapist. And so it was very hard for me to open up. It was very hard for me to open up my heart and say, hey, listen, these are the issues that I'm going through. Here are the problems that I'm going through. Here is my day. This is how I think about the world. Because every single time that I opened up, or every single time that I opened up some sort of like vulnerability, it was used against me as a way of abuse, as a way of domestic violence, as a way to use in the future to provide some sort of punishment and consequence. When I was 10 years old, I remember like my mother screaming in my ear about how I am a manipulative human being, all because I stated that I was having issues with her as a mother and I don't know, and I love my dad. That's because that was the thing. And she's like, how could you, screaming in my ear, you manipulative person, how can you love a man like that? When, how can you like him better than me? You know, those are just like one example. I don't know why I mentioned my mother, because I absolutely adore her now as a human being. I respect her so much because unlike my father, she did not leave the house when they divorced. She did not move to the Philippines and at 50 years old, you know, get a 19-year-old girl pregnant. No, my mother didn't do that. She stayed with us. I love her. I respect her. It's hard for me to talk with her, though. You know, after 7 minutes, I just want to hang up the phone. But, you know, it's moms, right? And so that kind of like, and then so you have, you know, the therapy of the father. Like when he was cheating and stuff, he would go to me and he would ask me how to pick up girls, I guess, or to brag. I don't know. And my mother, she had her own issues, et cetera, et cetera. And I developed this weird, strange thing where it was kind of like I was the therapist for my family, for my siblings, my 6 younger siblings as well. Like most of the time, and I want to say like 95% of the time, I've been realizing, and it's hard, it's difficult. I've been realizing that they call me when they need like help with marketing or advice or things about their life. And it's difficult for me to reach out and open up to them because I don't know how they would feel. And maybe because I have this strange kind of thought process in my head that for them to respect me, for them to think that I am somebody, that I have to be a rock, right, for them. How can, maybe it's because of my own parents where I often thought of them as weak because of the fact that they would open up and use me as like a therapist and use me as a way to commiserate all their freaking issues. And so I just hope to God, you know, that I stay put. There's a big difference between like actions I want to say, different things. Maybe I also want to have them on the podcast. I'm thinking I want to bring my mother in and have a conversation with her about it. But like if you really think about it, this is like if you are a parent or you're going to be a parent and you're listening to this right now, don't use your kids as they're your children at the end of the day. They're not your friends. They're not your therapist. You cannot pit them in a way against your other significant other. If that makes sense. I don't know. So where do I want to go with this podcast? Where's kind of the direction that I want to head, that I'm thinking about where I want to go with this podcast and the podcast that I enjoy listening to? And I realized that this is what I want to do. I think every week I kind of want to break down, of course, my rambles and my jambles and my musings about life, because that's what I do. And if it's funny, great. If it's not, great. Like, this is just an evolving thesis. This is called Spill the Pho, because listen, like, what are we doing? I don't know. We're just spilling the pho. And I want to make sure that I write notes before, because I kind of want to break down individual stories that have happened in my life. And so therefore, in the future, when I'm 80, 70, or whatever years old, I can look back at these shows and go, oh my gosh, I remember this. I remember when this happened in my life, because I'm reminding myself about it, if that makes sense. You know, this is my journaling, right? Instead of going on garano.com/wp-login.php, username, not going to tell you the username, not going to tell you the password, click on post and write. Instead of doing that, instead of writing an article in such a way, what I would rather do is kind of tell my stories here, right? And in doing so, I'm doing this for me. This is my therapy. I'm not going to lie, I've been kind of down, you guys. I've been saying to a lot of people that this has been one of my best years ever. Yeah, I mean, financially in some sort of way, man, I mean, not financially, but at least in the network, you know, marketing aspect, I've learned so much. I've learned so much and I've done so much this year, but I've also kind of, I feel alone. I feel alone because my world and how I set it up, it's just... and so what I want to do is I love y'all, right? This is the therapy about therapies. And what I'm going to do is I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story, two stories. And this is just for me. This is the story of two parts. This is about a girl, a woman, a girl that I dated for 6 years of my life. Okay. And I kind of want to tell you the story. I call it the most breakup story that I've ever, like, this is the most romantic breakup I've ever had in my entire life. And before I get there, I have to tell you kind of how we met. All right. I haven't told this story in such a long time, but once the story's out, then we can talk about, then I can jump into another story next week. So here's the story. By the way, thank you so much for listening. And if you can, and if you enjoy these podcasts, don't forget to, you know, go on Apple iTunes and leave a review, or just check out the highlights at instagram.com/spillthepho. All right. So this is the story. So what should we call this story? We should call it, the twin I met on Spiral. Ooh. The fairy tale beginning. No, I don't know if it's the fairy tale beginning, but wow. Let's figure out how I met her. So I'm a senior in college, and I'm at UC Berkeley. That's the college that I went to. And on the UC Berkeley campus, there is this long sidewalk kind of in the front of the campus, and it's called Sproul Hall. It's basically, as you walk down towards the sidewalk, all of a sudden you see different organizations flyering out why you should attend their meetings, why you should attend their organization, why you should join their club. And as I'm going and as I'm talking, and the reason why I'm talking to all these different organizations is because at the time I was an AUCC senator. And what that means is I was like one of those student body senators at the time, where I helped allocate a $3 million budget to different student organizations. And so there I'm on the Sproul Hall. I'm talking to kind of, as you would say, the quote-unquote constituencies. And I'm talking to y'all, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from the corner of my eye, I see two identical twins. And I go, oh my God, twins. Like, they're hella cute. So I go up, I do a little sidestep, and I go, oh my God, twins. They look at me, and we start talking. And there's two of them, because, you know, there's twins. And one of them, you know, there's like this stereotype. One of them was a little like offhanded, like judging me a little bit. And I totally understand. Yeah, I get it. I was a little, hey, here's someone very boisterous at the moment, just coming in and saying, oh my God, twins. And then the other one, you know, seemed a little bit more, as I would say, compassionate, willing to listen, all ears, ready, willing to have a conversation. My objective at the moment was to go after the non-compassionate one, as you could say. And the only reason why is because, I don't know, I think the mindset inside my head at the time was, listen, this one seems like more of a challenge maybe, or if I did get with her, there would be like this stereotype where there would be like no emotional, you know, not connection, I want to say, but no emotional attachment. And so the possibility of a relationship would not happen, if that makes sense, which is kind of funny because I was someone who, you know, really not desperately, but would enjoy a relationship. So anyway, those two wonderful twins, we talk, and then they provide, of course, their social. So, you know, I get their, you know, their Facebooks, and they walk off. Later that night, you know, I think it's around like 10 p.m., or like 9:30 p.m., 10 p.m., I'm on Facebook scrolling, and all of a sudden, boom, I see that she adds me. And you know when you add someone on Facebook, like the notification of the Facebook Messenger says like you should say hello of some sorts. So out of nowhere, I decide to say hello, and I don't know what happens, but we start having a little back and forth conversation. And then right around maybe like 11 p.m., which is like an hour later, I go, hey, listen, let's continue this conversation on the phone. Here's my phone number. Give me a call if you want to continue. And then I log out of Facebook and I wait. I wait. And then she gives me a call. That's right. Like 5 minutes later, the phone rings. I'm like, oh my gosh, well, hello. And she's like, hi. And we talk from 11 p.m. to around like 3:40 a.m. in the morning, and I go, hey, listen, it's 3:40 a.m. in the morning right now. Hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. She's like, okay, what do you think? What are you thinking? I'm like, hey, if it hits 4:20, I'm going to do something crazy. She's like, what? Like, I'm going to do something crazy. If it hits 4:20, if we're still talking at 4:20 a.m. in the morning, I'm going to do something crazy. She's like, okay. So we're talking, the conversation is flowing, you know, we're vibing each other. I absolutely love the way that she speaks, you know, she's making me laugh. It just meshes really well at that moment. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, of course, 4:20, I'm like, hey, let's just call her blah, blah, blah right now. Hey, blah, blah, blah. She's like, what? I'm like, it's 4:20. She's like, what? I'm like, hold on. I hang up the phone. I put on my bike helmet. I get on my bike and I ride to her place because she told me where she lived. And I lived literally 5 minutes away on my bike. And I'm riding and riding and I get there. Unit 1 in UC Berkeley, it's called Slotman. And I get there. I park my bike. I whip out my phone, still wearing the bike helmet, by the way, and I dial her number and I call, and it rings and it rings and it rings and it rings, and she doesn't pick up. I scream as loud as I can, fuck, like the F-U-C-K in exclamation mark, like fuck. And good thing she has T-Mobile, okay? Because when she was having a conversation with me, she was outside of her balcony. So when I screamed in like as loud as I could with such ferocity, F-U-C-K, exclamation mark, like times five, she heard me. She heard me. And she looked down from her balcony and she said, Jonathan? And I looked up and I went, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'll be right down. I'm like, okay, okay. I take off my bike helmet and I wait and I wait and I wait. And man, I'm just, the memories, the thoughts. Suddenly she opens the door. She opens the door and there she is. She's wearing a V-neck shirt, hair pulled back, shorts, bare feet, phone in her left hand. She's like, what? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I look at her. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I take the phone out of her left hand. I put it into my pocket. I hold her hands. And then I kiss her. Boom. Magic. Oh my God. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. We sit down. I'm like, okay, 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 okay. We can't. We can't. Let's keep continue. No, we can't do. No, wait, let's continue. No, we can't. It's passion. It's going crazy. And then I'm like, hey, get jump on my bike. Jump on my bike and we're going to go back to my place. So she jumps on my bike, but she doesn't know how to ride a bike for some freaking reason. And she pedals and she crashes into some nearby bushes. I'm like, oh my God. So I lift her up and I say, okay, well, I'm going to go now. And I rode off. And what I did not know, you guys, is that she was locked out of her place at freaking 5 a.m. in the morning. Because she didn't have her keys. And so I left her on the street. And thank God nothing happened to her. Anyway, I thought she was like upset. And I didn't call her for a couple days. Until I got a text message. And the text message read, can I have my Piglet keychain back? See, on her phone, she had a little Piglet keychain. And I couldn't help myself, but I guess when I put it into my pocket, the phone, the keychain suddenly snapped off. And so I, you know, as soon as I got that text, I dove into like my hamper. I found my sweatpants. I went into the pocket and sure enough, a little Piglet keychain. And so I said, yes, yeah, you can definitely, of course. So I plan another date. She arrives. These thoughts are in my head right now. They're coming in right now. Whoa. I remember she's wearing a black shirt, some jeans. I and a purse. I think a brown purse. I'm wearing shorts. We go to the local grocery store. I get a bunch of items. We go back to my place and I cook this really dry basil pasta. Okay. We're there. I'm cooking it. We feed, we laugh a few moments here and there. We talk about how horrible the dish I made, of course. And then she stands up and she's about to leave with her Piglet keychain. And right before she leaves, I say, hey, let's try this one more time. I pull her in and we kiss. And a lot of roller coasters and so many different events happened later. This is basically the most romantic breakup that I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, granted, since the breakup, I really haven't had any relationships. Yes, I've had a few girls that have wanted to be in relationships. I've had, you know, a few hookups here and there, but you know, in my life, I not really at that moment to really jump into a relationship. I mean, I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be very real with you. It took some time for me to get over her. Not over her in the aspect that I wanted to get back together with her, but over her in a way of like still thinking of what she thought of me. Because when you're in a relationship, every single action that you do, you're always thinking about that other person in your mind, thinking, what is that other person thinking would think of me in this moment if I did this? You know, even when we were on a break, there were times where girls wanted to be with me, and I always thought to myself, oh my God, like if I pursued this, what would she think? And so it took me time to get over her because I would be doing things in my life, either like in front of the camera, or I would be at an event, or I would do things, and I would be thinking, this is after we broke up, like, what would her family think of me? What would she think of me? And luckily, that took a lot of self-thought, exploration to figure out that, hey, listen, we had our time. I've learned so much, but I don't hate her. I don't like her. There's no emotion whatsoever. She's completely irrelevant in my life. That was kind of like the thought process. And it took me forever to get there, okay? I mean, of course, there's like one specific thing that I'm still dealing with, but thank God it hasn't really affected any, you know, new woman or new event that I meet, because now I just do what I do because I want to do it, right? So anyway, this is kind of, you know, that's what you should be thinking. My sister made a really good point so many years ago, where she was talking about her ex, and I go, "Do you hate him?" And she's like, "No." I'm like, "So you like him?" She's like, "No." And I'm like, "Why don't you have any sort of emotion?" She's like, "Listen, if I like him, that means I have emotion. If I hate him, that means I'm giving some sort of emotion." And it made me realize that at that moment, right, by saying that he, in a way, is irrelevant, you only, as a person, have so much mental bandwidth inside your head, right? You can only store so much. And if you allow something that just occupies your mind, that kind of deters you from everything else, from not focusing on the present of life, from not appreciating the presence that you're in, if that makes sense, then why live, you know? To live, to not waste, I want to say, but to occupy your mental bandwidth with something other than something that can help you, to help yourself, then you're just draining every aspect of mental energy that you can use to progress and do something greater instead, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, there's one thing, and we'll talk about that one thing maybe, I don't know, in this podcast, but sometime later, where that's still on my mind. But at least like 95, 98, 99%, because that one thing is not too big, but it's big enough. So 95% of how I view her and view her family is just, when I think of them, I think they're irrelevant. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. If I saw them in real life, there'd be smiles, there'd be a handshake. I respect, of course, I've learned so much. But irrelevant in the way that I do not care what she thinks about the actions that I do anymore. I don't need that level of judgment. I don't need to be second guessing what I'm doing or who I am as a person. I want to be able to live me, my life, say what I want to say without the embarrassment of the judgment that could be coming from either her or her family, right? Or just anybody. That stems from my own insecurity. That is so crucial. That stems from my own insecurity. Wow, this is like just an evolving thesis, and I love it. I mean, before we get to the breakup story, the most romantic breakup story that I've ever had. Yesterday, I was on a sidewalk with, you know, one of my friends who I just had a podcast with, by the way. His name is Gabe DeSanti. And that podcast is coming out. Very wonderful human being. And he goes, "Why haven't you been in a relationship? You know, what is stopping you? Why, Jonathan, are you just doing like random hookups here and there, and you haven't really decided to like hold someone's hand?" Okay, he didn't say the holding hand part, but, you know, jumping into a relationship. And I go, and it took me time to figure this out, I guess. But when he asked that question, I said to him, "You know, I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, usually at that moment, people usually go, if someone asked me that question, you know, back in the day, I would say, oh, I'm just working on myself. But in reality, you can always be working on yourself." I told him, this is the honest truth. It stems from insecurity. The reason why I'm not in a relationship right now is because of my insecurity. I have an ideal, you know, woman out there who I would love to be in a relationship with. But then the question is, would she love to be in a relationship with me? And right now, when I look in the mirror, when I look where I live, I mean, I live in a garage. I live in a garage with a twin size bed. Yes, I've had women that have been here, but listen, a relationship like that, you can only have a potential, like the potential of you. Like, people want to be with rocket ships, but you can only have that figment of this guy is going somewhere. This person is a rocket ship for so long before they end up and going, okay, when is this guy moving out of his garage? And so the insecurity of my mind thinking I am not good enough for anybody that I want to be with at this moment, right? I have this ideal version of a woman that I want to be with, which is just not only just gorgeous, of course, you know, the girl next door, compassionate, oh my God, but someone who is intelligent, someone who thrives, someone who's ambitious, someone who has just a job, I guess, that I'm enamored with, you know, something different than marketing, if that makes sense, because I'm in marketing and influencer and social media. Someone that I can come back home to and she can talk about her world and I can talk about mine. Someone that when she hurts, I hurt. When I feel, she feels. Someone that I can look up to. And at the same time, she can be like motivated by me to keep pushing forward, right? Because that's what I love to do. I love to fucking push people forward. I love to see that star and be like, you're going to make it. And this is how. And so, but maybe it's because of the relationship that I had and for the reason why we broke up, and I'll get to that in a second, the most romantic breakup that we've ever had. You know, like, I just want to make sure that I'm good enough for the person that I'm going to date. And I don't think I am. I don't think I have, okay, this might sound a little superficial or whatever, but I don't think I have the status. I don't think I have the money. I don't think I have the level of health at this moment to be attractive enough for someone that I could be in a relationship with, especially with someone that I deem value with all those qualities that I mentioned, right? Because, yeah, looks are one thing, and yes, you could have a great night where you're able to, you know, spit out a few words that are swagalicious and charismatic, and you can, you know, trigger some sort of magic at that moment. But that only goes so far. That's only fluff, right? At the end of the day, that magic show disappears, ladies and gentlemen, my boys and girls, my beautiful faux queens and faux kings. And you have to go through that, and you begin to realize who this person truly is. And because of my insecurity, I'm not there. And then I was thinking, oh my God, Jonathan. And maybe this is why I started this podcast or doing this podcast in this way, like how I'm restructuring the podcast and where each episode is going. But I was like, whoa, and then I'm not improving as a person because as I'm getting closer, I am fearful of succeeding. You know, I was like, there's a reason why as I get close, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make an excuse that I'm depressed. Or as I get closer to finishing a project or making a lot of money in this super deal, for some reason, I'll just figure out a way to self-sabotage myself. And it's the fear of success in a way. You know? So, I mean, that's a big reason why I haven't jumped into a relationship yet. Like, I haven't jumped into a relationship yet because of the fact that, hey, listen, I am frankly insecure. I'm not good enough for the person that I want to date, you know? What about her? Well, I think 6 months or 3 months after we broke up, I heard she was dating, and, you know, that did not hurt. That was expected. I was like, okay. But of course, that mindset is like, is he better than me? Because all those memes that come out, where their memes are like, oh, it's really good when your new boyfriend is, you know, better than your ex, you know, and it hurts. Every time I see a movie or a meme, or every time I hear someone talking bad about their ex, I just think to myself, holy shit, hopefully, you know, I was a good boyfriend at the moment and I was a good ex. And there are so many thoughts in that time process, you know. While it took me forever to get over her, was like, was I a good person in the relationship? And many times I'll hear a song, because we have songs, like every relationship has a song, and I think about it, like, fuck, why did I say that? Why did I do it like that? You know? It's hard to forgive yourself. You're supposed to say that you forgive yourself. But I'm working on it. And that's where kind of like this episode comes from. This is where, you know, all these episodes when I'm alone will be like, this is how I want to structure kind of Spill the Foe, where let's open up. Let's be real. Yeah. I don't have to always joke around, you know? So this is the story about how this is the most romantic breakup story. So it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'm in the middle of her bedroom, and I'm on one of those stools, you know? I'm in her bedroom at 4 a.m. in the morning, and I'm sitting down in one of those stools, just looking down. And she's at my left, and she is sitting down on her bed, and she's leaning against the wall. And, you know, it's 4 a.m., so we've had a very rough night. And when I mean a very rough night, I'm talking, as you know, an argument. If it lasted to 4 a.m., you know that it's not one of those peaceful arguments. We're drained. We're emotionally there. And then suddenly I have this thought in my head. And I already know the answer to the question that I'm about to ask her. I look to my left and I say, "Hey, do you love me?" And I saw her sigh, then a big breath up, then her face begins to tear up, and she like leans back. And she just goes through the wall. That's how powerful this question was. And she begins to tear up and begins to cry in front of me and say, "I loved you. I loved you. But I don't love you the way that I used to. I just didn't want to tell you because I just didn't want to hurt you." She's breaking down. She's crying. And here she is, you know, this woman that I've been with for literally close to 6 years. Someone who I just, you know, the first person in my entire life that I was with that I've ever said, "I love you." Breaking down. Someone that I cared for at that moment. And I don't know what to do. So I come up to her and I hold her. She begins to cry on my chest and we lay down and she's breaking down. She's saying, "I'm so sorry, Jonathan. I'm so sorry, Jonathan." And I'm like, listen. No, don't worry. Don't be sorry. It makes sense. Like, don't be sorry. And she breaks down. And then from there, to calm everything down, we have our last, you know, moment. Our last moment where every single emotion from the last 6 years just gets into that moment. Tears, sweat, passion, anger, frustration, letting go, all in that like next hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever that was. It was beautiful, yet so bittersweet. We wake up, I begin to pack my things a little bit, and she goes, "I don't want to break up." And I'm like, "No, listen, that was, you know, the last 2 hours speaking, you know? You have to understand that when these oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin or whatever happens when you do that action suddenly goes away, you'll realize that, hey, listen, what you said last night still rings true. Because I felt it, you felt it, we let it go." So I pack up my things and, you know, it was getting closer and closer to November. And in that moment, there's a thing called Nike Women's Marathon. And every single year, you know, since the first time that we met, we started, like, I introduced her to running, and we got into running, you know, until I gave up, but got into running a lot. And she started joining this, like, marathon called, like, Nike Women's Marathon. And it was the first year that I did not go to Nike Women's Marathon with her. I mean, that's kind of like a sign automatically. And so all my things are, you know, packed from her place. It's like very, very, very clear that we're no longer going to date each other. And basically the last time that I see her, I drive her to her work because she is an organ donor transplant officer at that time, at that moment. So I drive to her place of work at 7 p.m. We talk a little bit in the car, and I can, you know, when you know someone for 6 years, you just know, right? Like, even when we broke up for a little bit, there was that 6 month period or 3 month period when I could tell that at that moment she was like hurting or she was going through something. Like, you just feel it. So I felt like, oh, she's just done with this. She wants this to be over already. She's washed this. Let's get it over with. Like, I could tell already. So we go outside, we go for a little walk, you know, before she gets into her little building. And I decide to tell her a few things. I go, hey, blah, 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 you know. I go, hey, see that? See up there? That's the North Star. And love, as I was reading, is like the North Star. No matter if you're sad, if you're angry, if you're a little lost, all you have to do is look at the North Star and head there. But what I'm realizing is that you need to be your own North Star, and I need to be my own North Star. And I have one question for you, though. She's like, what? What? What's the question? And I go, did you grow in our relationship? Because that's what matters. I mean, I didn't say this to her, but that matters to me. But I asked her. I asked her, hey, did you grow in our relationship? And she said, are you kidding me? Everything that I am, everywhere where I'm going, is because of you. Oh my God, that felt like... I believe I gave her a kiss on the forehead, and then she walked off. And, you know, and then, of course, you know, when I arrived at my place, I made sure to block her on all social media, you know, blocked her from my phone, and just stayed put where we didn't talk, you know, for like an entire fucking year. I think I, you know, drove straight to LA or something. I don't know. I forgot what I did, but it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Like, one of my biggest things is I just want to make sure that, like, maybe not now because of some stuff that have happened afterwards, but I just want to make sure, and something that I really care about is that any relationship from a friend to a family member or even with someone, even if it's a hookup of some sort, I just want to make sure that I provided some sense of growth for them. Because I like to invest in my friends and family members and people that I like to provide some sort of, not just happiness and good vibes, of course, but to help push them to get where they want to go, to be that cheerleader, if that makes sense. And so when she said, like, are you kidding me? I have grown basically because of you. God damn it. That, you know, that made my day. That fucking made my day. I mean, that is why, to me, that's the most romantic breakup story ever. Because, you know, from that moment in her bedroom to that, to the tears, to letting go in that, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hour session, whatever it was, all the way to, you know, dropping her off at work, to me was just, if that makes sense. Yeah. Relationships are strange. Relationships are weird. And you learn so much about yourself. And kind of the reflection that I have, as especially as I get older, is, you know, there is no need whatsoever to say anything bad about your ex, right? It just did not, it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And as I do with almost everything, I kind of like blame myself. A lot of regrets that I have is oftentimes three things. One, not opening up more. I mean, there's one aspect, she goes, even after the 6 years, she's like, I don't even know who you are. I will always remember that. That was like probably, that's when I decided to probably ask that question. Like, do you love him? Because I think 2 or 3 months before we broke up, she's like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. And it was very difficult for me to kind of, it was kind of difficult for me to be in a situation where I did not want to force myself to really open up to her. I don't know why, but she felt a lot of pain because of me. And, you know, not years later, but we used to have this like private blog where we wrote to each other a lot. And sometimes I did, not anymore, but in that first year of the breakup, I would read those posts. And I would also read her blog, her own blog post about what she thought of me and where she was. And we won't get into it now because if I read it right now, my heart would just fucking break and I would lament about the mistakes that I've made. But what's really great is that you learn to sort of in a way, especially if the person's on the other side is kind of mature, you learn a few things. You learn that they're not really thinking about your mistakes that much. Well, at least mature people are. She's a very mature person, so I know that she's probably not. And that is something that was like a very hard lesson. And this is how I learned. There was a mistake that I made at some work that I worked at like close to 9 years ago, 2011. I made a massive mistake. I let someone down. And that thought of how I let that person down always crept up year after year after year after year. So finally, this year, like in the beginning of 2020 or the end of 2019, I got to check on the email date, but I went online and I looked for this person's like personal email. I don't know how I found it, but I found it. And then I emailed her a long message. And I said, hey, listen, I know this happened 9 years ago, but I want to let you know that I am so sorry for what I did. I am so sorry that I let you down as an employee. You know, you were my mentor and I let you down. You know, you rooted for me. You pushed me. We had one-on-one meetings together. We were there together and you were training me and I still freaking failed. I failed. I failed you. And it's amazing because she emailed me back and, you know, I'm not going to get into exactly what she said, but there's one sentence that kind of made something. I mean, yes, she said you're a good person, but by saying that, it doesn't make me a good person per se because you listening to this, you don't know. You don't know if I'm a good person or not, right? But she said this. She said, you have to learn to forgive yourself. And so that's what I want to say to y'all is don't forget to forgive yourself. Don't forget it. Don't forget to forgive yourself. Oh my God, my heart, guys, I'm not going to lie because I haven't talked about those stories in a very, very long time. I think the last time I talked about those two stories was in the summer of 2018 at a party where they had individuals go up and tell a story. And I told those two stories, I think, I did. But holy crap, my heart right now is feeling some feelings. Of not regret, but it just hurts a little bit. It hurts a little bit. So I wonder what she would be thinking of me now, you know? As in my place, where I live, how I live my life, my current financial status, etc., etc., etc. I mean, but remember, she's irrelevant, so I don't care what she thinks if she hears this. I'm not saying her name. I'm not doxing her. You know, but I too have to open up about my thing, you know, if that makes sense. I have to be able to live my life. I don't want to be like 100 years old and keeping these like stories inside of my heart because I'm not allowed to tell them. No, I don't. Judge me all you want. Don't care. As long as I'm not doing anything illegal or doxing or anything of that situation, I don't care. What I do care is how these stories break my heart, because I'm like putting pieces together of maybe the mistakes that I've made in that relationship. I just want to be better for the next person that I'm with. And you wish so hard that, in a weird, strange way, that you could, maybe it's my insecurity, but fuck, I hope I made her happy during our relationship. And I hope that she's happy now. I still wish that as a person, hopefully, that if she thinks about me in some sort of way, that she has, that she too thinks I'm irrelevant, that she doesn't hate me. I don't know, I'm working on it. But I mean, if I wasn't able to like get over her, we wouldn't be having, I wouldn't be even being able to talk about her in this like public format, like what I'm doing right now. Trust me. I was on this dating show. I mean, we're about to end soon. I love y'all. Thanks so much for listening. But I was on this dating show in 2018. These 12 women would line up and I would have to, you know, I had a conversation with each one for about 30 seconds and I had to eliminate each one. And then from there, I would have to choose the one that I would love to go on a date with. And I really just couldn't be myself. I really couldn't be myself because I was afraid that she would see the video and she would judge kind of what I was doing. And in fact, I went on another blind date that same year with an individual. It's called Jubilee Media's T for Two. And we're sitting down and we're asking each other questions. And again, I wasn't fully there to like truly like just open up and be completely vulnerable with who I am at that moment because I was afraid about how she would think of me. Now people are like, Jonathan, like people are always so happy when people are so vulnerable and so open with each other, but it's not always so easy, you guys. Some people are born in houses like mine where it was very difficult to be vulnerable because when you opened up, it was used against you. The lack of support, right? The lack of support. And I don't want to be the Debbie Downer in a situation. So that's what you have to think about, right? A lot of other people, I'm not saying that to be vulnerable is privilege, but in a way it is. In a way it is. I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, so that's one story. There's so many other stories that I want to talk about. And hopefully you learned something through this, like spill the fa. I just want to say thank you so much for listening. There is an interview coming later this week, which I'm really excited about. Remember, you can check out Spill the Fa on Instagram, instagram.com/spillthefa. We have cool little quotes there, clips of the shows, polls. So please join that. And if you could do me a favor, go on Apple iTunes or Spotify, but especially Apple iTunes, and leave a review if you can. And if you have a Spotify, you can always follow, click that little follow button on Spill the Fuss. So again, Spill the Fuss on Instagram, spillthefuss.com for everything. And don't forget to leave a review. I appreciate you. And you can always find me at Do Good Jonathan. All right. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Okay.